They're good. It's kind of neat. Some of the teachings there that we've been, you know, going to and listening to are about legacy. And I thought to myself, you know, that's a great thing. They're doing it individually from one of the places where we're, you know, going to and supporting a church and then listening to the audio. I watch them a lot of times on live stream here right from my computer, which is wonderful. But they're doing legacies on individual people, okay? And they're also talking about the legacies for us, too. But every single person has a legacy if they do it. So your legacy is going to be, all right, where are we going to be? What are we going to be known for? What is this going to be for us at the end, okay? We all have an impact upon others that will outlast our lifespan on this earth. That is a legacy, okay? If you don't have one, if it's white clean, like there was people, you know, you'd always hear this in some of the movies, they say that, what was it? It was 300 where he said, I will wipe it out so that the Spartans will never have existed. I will get rid of you. And as we know, the Spartans were a legacy. I mean, from Sparta, these guys were bad dudes, okay? They were, you know, made for fighting, basically. But their legacy was not wiped out. It's as a matter of fact, it's almost the other way around. Following biblical principles, we can leave a legacy of spiritual inheritance that would affect the lives of others for times age abiding. And I like this here with Abraham Lincoln. He said, I want it said of me by those who knew me best that I always plucked a thistle and planted a flower where I thought a flower would grow. I'm like, well, that's good, because that's what he's saying he wants to be known for. Where he could do something, he wanted to be known that that's what he did. So I love this. That reminds me of your baby picture, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that picture. Anyways. There we go. Okay. Leaving a spiritual legacy, a spiritual inheritance for those who come after us, and passing on to the next generations a legacy with everlasting value is far more important than temporal inheritance of money and property. And so we think about that was, you know, even somebody who was like the Kennedys, you know, that they have this trust that just rolls over and rolls over and rolls over. So, I mean, even generations of people are going to be living off that trust. But what they have is there is nothing outside of what we have here. They're basically going to go through life and they're, you know, enjoy it while they're here, but there's not, their legacy is going to be left here. Okay? Their legacy will not go on. Yeah. Let's start off in Proverbs. Go ahead, you can walk through here. That's all right. Okay, everybody look at him. All right. Proverbs 13:22. We're gonna be on 6:19. Page 619, Proverbs 13:22. A good man, everybody there, I'm sorry. 619, about the middle left. A good man leaveth an inheritance to children's children, but laid up for righteousness is the wealth of a sinner. Because guess what? Everything that the Kennedys have done, they don't take with them. Okay? Who inherits the earth? Who inherits the earth? Okay? We do. The meek inherit the earth. Priorities. Highest priorities here that we look at. And so this is kind of a thing where I look at and I think to myself, you know, as a legacy, we're looking all the time on what can we do, where can we touch, who can we meet to be able to, you know, bring about some change. You know, good change. Not the hope and change type stuff. Serving Yahweh and Yahushua. Serving your spouse and your children. Serving the body of Christ. I thought there was one more, but I did not get that. So let me go back there one more time, because I wanted to kind of go over that. Okay, serving Yahweh and Yahushua, serving your spouse and your children, serving the body of Christ. These are priorities. Okay, these are priorities I look at. When we do these things, we are, by serving the body of Christ or bringing more people in, we are making it available. It made me laugh yesterday. I had a client call me, and it's one that calls me every single year when it comes time for doing the drug stuff. And I completely forgot about what happened last time I was with her. And she goes, Tim, you're going to come out to my house again. And I'm like going, oh, well, not for a prescription drug plan. Please, I don't have time for that. And she expects me to do it. And she goes, you remember when you're here last time, don't you? And of course, I'm like, well, of course I do. Hope you're not watching. Peggy Nelson. She goes, Tim, last time you were here, you prayed for me. And you prayed like I'd never heard anybody pray.
Oh.
Like, she wants another prophecy. And I forgot. I'm like, when I was at her house going through this, and she was just torn up. She was just devastated with everything that was happening to her. I'm like, I grabbed her hand and said, let me pray with you. okay, are you serious? And so I did. I give her a prophecy, and she goes, nobody's ever done that for me. And so this year she calls me, and she goes, will you come back and do that again? And I'm like going, yes, I will do it. When do you want to do it? So, you know, I'm very cheerful about doing it, even though I'm like going initially, I'm like going, but I was like going, it reminded me. I'm like going, okay, it was an opportunity. I completely forgot that that happened. Yeah. You know, and that's where we have to be, to where somebody reminds us, hey, you remember when you did this? You're right, I did do that. So it's not onesies and twosies. It's always that's happening, and then somebody has to remind you, hey, this is what happened. I wish I could say that it's always for me. Yeah. It's not, but I'm trying to make it that way. Parents, this is one of the big things for the legacy, because you think about this, the parents, how much influence they have. And what happens is the legacy comes out where whoever the star is, that's the focus. And the parents who brought the person up to this point and invested all the time are kind of left in the dust a lot of times. And so for me, when the parents are just absolutely essential, Darby, what are you doing? The seemingly never-ending effort that does pay off. The single most important legacy you can leave is children serving Yahweh and Yehoshua and thereby affecting their generation and thereafter. Man. That is a legacy that keeps on giving. And how quickly it's destroyed and broke. And you would see that. I mean, you look at Elijah's sons. You look at, throughout the word, the people who had David, you know, Absalom. And they, what would happen with one generation, or what could happen. And then you see other ones where it would go generation upon generation, but it's done. Doesn't just happen. It's something that has to be invested in, and invested in heavily, to make that happen. Let's switch over here to 1 Timothy. And that's going to be on, it's 1 Timothy 4, 8, and it's going to be on page 215. And if somebody would read that for me when we get there. 4, 8 on the right side.
Okay, for the bodily training, for little is profitable, whereas godliness for all things is profitable, having promise of life, the present and the coming.
That's it. And so, see, this breaks it apart, that the worldly thing or the bodily training, the things that you are investing in for today, for our pleasures or whatever else, okay, that this is for little is profitable, but for godliness, for good things is profitable, having the promise of life, the present and the coming. And so our Creator, Yahweh, wants us to be blessed right now. He wants us to be blessed in this life. He wants us to be blessed in paradise as well. And we're investing in paradise, but he also wants to equip us right now. And so the difference is that which one is the everlasting? What are we actually doing the legacy for? The legacy, you're not really doing it, is for yourself right now. This is for future type things. Godliness or holiness, or the lack of it, has impact beyond this life, even into life to come in paradise. Darby, what you call her?
Darby.
For crying out loud.
Got her toys out.
Darby,
go. And she doesn't know what to do. Leave a legacy of, I'm worried she'll fall out of the window or something. Leave a legacy of holy living, and that's a big thing. I talked about this guy once before. This is John C. Maxwell, okay? And this is out of Wikipedia. He's an American author, speaker, and pastor. He's written more than 60 books, and all of his books totaled of 19 million, and his primary focus is on leadership stuff. And so I like that. I'm like going, because one of the big things, it's funny, when I was in the military, and we started going through the NCO academies and the leadership schools and whatnot, is they told every single person, they're like going, you know, who's the leader here? Well, that's kind of a, you know, you're by this point in the military, you know, don't raise your hand, this is a trick.
Yeah.
You know, so you jump. So nobody did. Nobody's like, no, I'm not going to get entrapped in this. And so they go through and they go, every single one of you are. Because leadership can be an inherited thing. It can also be a taught characteristic. It can be a trait that is taught and learned. And people who will learn can learn to lead. And so even those people who think, I can't do it, I've never done it, can be taught how to do it. And that's what he specializes in doing, is teaching people how to do this, to pass on this information, to be a good leader, the successful things. And he's got a slew of them. I pulled this picture here off of Google Images. He has a bunch of books. There's 60 books. Mm. And out of the 60, there's probably like 45 of them that solely deal on leadership.
Mm.
Okay? And one of the things he did is this, and I kind of like this. This is a circle of influence. And I have to find myself in there to push back sometimes when things are pushing in on you. And he did a circle of influence in two different things. Proactive focus here on the left side, reactive focus on the right side. And so you see your circle of influence pushing out when you are proactive. Positive enlarges the circle. A person who goes out who says, you know what? I'm going to go conquer the world. Yahweh, here I am. Your servant awaits. That's a positive where you go out and you're pushing. You're pushing those boundaries out for your circle of influence. The person who's like going, golly, if another person talks to me or if another car pulls out in front of me, I'm going, oh, you know, and I get that way sometimes where I'm just like going, you know, the other day I'm driving and I'm just like going, did somebody put something on the back of my car? You know, people just pull in and then slow down and then I'm like going, I'm looking in my rearview mirror and there's nobody behind me. And I'm just like going, Speaking tongues, just relax. So anyways, that's the same thing, but that's the reactive focus. The reactive focus says, as my surroundings come, we're going to get stuff slung on us, we're going to have things thrown at us, and now all of a sudden, it's pushing in on us and we're not pushing back out. That's reactive. Yeah. In other words, it is stopping us now from where you come in contact with somebody where you're going to extend yourself out and be that body of Christ to extend out to another person, to deliver, to a circle of influence. Your circle of influence is there whether you want it or not. Mm-hmm. It's whether or not you take advantage of that circle of influence. That's the whole thing. And so it's proactive versus reactive and how to push that. The positive, the person who's professing the positive, speaking the things, is the one that's going to have the influence. Even if things are going horrible, it's that person that, first of all, that other people will notice, and your positivity just, it's contagious. It just flows out of you. And so people will see that, and it will broaden your circle of influence. Again, part of circle of influence, everyone has a circle of influence, and he estimates 30,000 people in an average lifetime. Okay, now that deals with people you work with, people that you go to and see. It's not just that you bump into 30,000 people. It is repetitive acquaintances, if you will. And he estimates 30,000. And I'm like going, that's a lot. That's a lot. Because now you start thinking to yourself, okay, of my 30,000 so far in my life, how much have I influenced positively? And what have I done? And I'm like going, I think to myself, well, this is like a zoo here at the Saunders house tonight. I think to myself how much I've done, and I can, you know, it's I'm not pleased with the results of it. I'm like going, so, you know, it's never too late to start, and even if you get the last 5,000 of your life, you know, that you come in contact with, guess what? That's still, you're still can make that happen. We all influence others. What type of influence are we leaving? And that's the big thing. And I think about that when I was in the military, and I'd have some people who were, you know, supervisors of mine that were dirtbags that, you know, would go out on the road and then they would talk about the stuff that they did while they were out on the road amongst all these younger people, especially younger guys that were married. And I'm thinking to myself, holy cow. I mean, they're influencing people because now people are intrigued. They want to listen to it. And I'm like, well, that's a circle of influence. Yeah. And you are influencing these people. And they're like, well, at the same point where, hey, how can you counter these? What do you do to stop these type of things? And the yeah buts, I love these here because everybody has them. This is where we... it doesn't apply to me, you know. Yeah, but my kids are grown. I missed too many opportunities.
Yeah.
I've done too much sin. I've already blown my chances. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from people.
Okay.
Even people that I witnessed to, that, yeah, Christ can't love me. I'm way too much of a sinner. And so I start throwing examples in the Bible. Have you killed anybody yet? No. Oh, well, let's read about that in the Word. Let's go through that. Mm-hmm. So how bad are you? Yes, this is sin. Sin's sin. But at the same point, let's go through. Okay? Don't use that as a cop-out. Then, you know, the adversary loves that when he can throw you a yeah, but don't do it because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm hardly able to keep my head above water. You're way older or younger. I'm only 18. I don't have to worry about it yet. That's very common. I'll get to it. I'll become a Christian when...
Yeah.
And it's the same thing I always ask people. I'm like going, when do you become old? Okay? Nobody will say they're old unless they're like 90. They won't say they're old. Because they won't say that, though. If you ask somebody, when I was younger, I'd say 50 was old.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, but that kind of slides as I get closer to 50. And so it always kind of jumps. And so when I'm going to become a Christian when I get older, it's the same thing. It's just, oh, well, we push up. Right before I die, I'll become a Christian. You know, that kind of mentality type of a deal.
Uh-huh.
Besides, my legacy is about me, not others. And that's the worldly view. You know, get what you can. You know, take everything that you can get. I like this here with Dr. James Dobson. Three things really matter in your life. Your legacy. Okay, and this is what he puts in there. Who or what did you love? And that shows where your heart is, by the way. It shows where your focus. And so as you answer those questions, it shows, A, if you're loving things that, well, I love my car, I love my pet, you know, I love these things, I love my house, the types of things that maybe you, as you confess these things, you should be like, wait a second, this isn't, I should be, the things that should be coming out of my mouth are, I love the Word, I love Christ, I love the body, I love these things here that I'm able to do, and to realign ourselves. Who loved you? And what you did for Christ? Where did you stand out for? What did you do? Okay, that's James Dobson. I might add a few different ones in there, but I like that. It's a good self checkpoint to look and to see where you are. Isaiah 40, verse 8, page 683. And you know what? I'm gonna actually, if let's just start in verse 6, and we'll go 6 through 8. Okay, 683. Do you want to read it, Isaiah, Elijah?
Yeah, fine. I'll just read up there.
Okay. Well, let me do it, because I'm going to start in verse 6, okay? Starting in verse 6, I changed it. I threw a wrench in there. A voice saying, cry. And one said, what should I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the grace thereof, okay, or loveliness, like a flower of the field, the grass hath withered. The flower hath faded, because the breath of Yahweh hath blown upon it. Surely the people is grass. And in verse 8, the grass hath withered. The flower hath faded, but the word of our Elohim shall stand under time's age abiding. Boy, that's a legacy, the words that they said. So when we invest in our legacy, that we have to be investing in the same thing. The word shall stand until time's age abiding, even though the world does a little, you know, cross cut every now and then, crosses back over it. We have to stay along that and keep that in our focus. Let's go to Matthew here real quick. Matthew 5. And I'll let you read that one there if you would, please. Matthew 5 and 12 through 16. It's going to be on page 4. And 12 starts kind of at the top there of the left side, page 4.
You can read it off the TV too, honey. Okay.
Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in the heavens, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt become tasteless, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing any more, save being cast out and to be trampled on by men. Ye are light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hid on the top of a mountain lion. Neither light they a lamp and place it under the measure, but upon the lampstand, it gives light to all that are in your house. In like manner, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in the heavens.
And that's it. Verse 16 is just great with that. In like manner, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify. Now, if you're in the proactive side of that circle of influence, you are doing that. The proactive, you're stifling it down. You don't want to be confronted. You don't want to. You're basically being pushed into to weaken your circle of influence. Okay. Opportunities to reveal Christ. I love that picture there, by the way. That's it's like one of those endless lakes, and it's a cloud. There was no wind, and so they took a picture, and it looked like it's an infinity there. How do we get the chance to reveal Christ? Okay, A, knowing the people around you. And so this is an opportunity when you can hear it. You know, I think every time, every everybody that you've known for any length of time has come into some kind of trouble or something where they're like, oh, no, things aren't good. And it's an opportunity. It makes me laugh because one of the guys that used to be at our building, Dwight, he would always joke about that. Well, how are you doing today? And if you said anything but fine, he'd be like, whoa, I'm not a chaplain, okay? You don't see bars up on me or on my shoulder, so take that somewhere else. And I'm like going, and you're like going, okay. And yeah, I know it was a joke. He's doing his joke, but I think to myself, how many times that somebody says that? How are things going? Oh, not so good. Oh, okay, great. We'll see you later. You know, but it's an opportunity to be able to do that. That's a great time to be able to witness to somebody. And everybody you've known for any length of time will have been in a predicament like that where you can do that, where you can talk about, hey, things are great, wonderful day. You know, this is, I'm so blessed. Let me tell you about how I'm blessed and what Christ has done for me. Okay, genuinely taking interest in others, and that's a big one. People will know if you're not genuinely taking interest. If you're being phony with them, they're gonna kind of like, and that's fine because people will do that. Though, you know, you say, "Hi, how are you?" You coming into the building, out of the building. You know, there's that lapse. It's just a crossover, and that's it. And so, if you tried to really pretend like, "Hey, you're my best friend. How have you been?"
Yeah.
You're gonna kind of like, "Who are you? What's wrong with you?" But genuinely taking interest in others, you can still do that when you see somebody. You see them, hey, let me get the door for you. Let me hold it for you. And talk with them. People, hey, nice, you know, even great weather we're having. Acts of kindness. People will see that. They'll take notice of it. Holding the door for people. Saying things. So, hey, God bless you. People like going, you know, what are you doing? Look for ways to engage in the conversation. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11:30. We're going to be on page 617. And I will read this, Proverbs 11:30.
Yeah.
And you see that here, it says the in 30, the fruit, and you look down there at B, and it says mouth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of the righteous, or the mouth of the righteous, is a tree of life. And he that rescueth souls, okay, or taketh souls, or nephesh, is wise. And so the mouth of the righteous is a tree of life. That's the proactive, that's the positive, where somebody's coming out and professing it. What they hear is somebody who's blessed by Christ. If somebody's, you know, a Christian and all they do is murmur and complain, you're like going, yeah, that's not really, you're not selling me on your plan, okay? I'm not buying into it. If things are so great, why the heck would I want that? If this is what you get. But this is it here. And so on here, I put it in here, this is the nephesh there for the soul, okay? Rescuing creates an immediate and age-abiding inheritance, a legacy for them and for you. Okay, and this is where we're going into the teaching of the younger generations. Let's go to Titus 2:1. And again, everybody, it's Timothy, Titus. Okay, 2:1. 1 through 5, and I'll read this right on page 221. Right there? Okay. 221, starting on chapter 2, verse 1. But do thou speak the things which become the healthful instruction, okay, that aged men be sober, grave, sober-minded, healthy in their faith, love endurance. Okay. Aged women in the same way, in deportment, as become as sacred persons, not given to intrigue, nor yet too much wine, enslaved, teachers of virtue, okay, or instructors there. If you see down there, look at there at the note E, okay, teachers of virtue or good instructors, that they may constrain the young women to be lovers of their husbands, lovers of their children, sober-minded, chaste workers at home, good, submitting themselves to their own husbands, that the word of Yahweh be not defamed. Okay, and this is great. So it talks about the men and the women as far as what we're supposed to be able to do. And so yet the women have a great responsibility with the children on bringing the children up to pass on that legacy, and women are the last ones to probably get noticed in that, of what they do to bring up, to raise in, to implant the word, the faith, the manifestations, all these things that are done, and so much of that is done there, it's brought up from good instructions. A legacy Influence your children, grandchildren to know and serve Yahweh and Yahushua, building your life for the 30,000 that you come in contact. And so think about that. Let that number think, you know, set in. Yeah. They're thinking, you know, every day, if you take how many days you're alive, if you average a life out to, you know, 90 years old, okay, and you say, hey, 30,000, how many people does that come out to be per week that I come in contact, that I can do this with? That, how many have I met? How many people, you know, they'll, at least they can turn you down. Yeah. Say, yeah, you know, I don't want to hear that. Thank you. And the thing is it's funny because even in my work, I saw that happen to a few people where they say, yeah, I'm not interested. Thank you. And then something would happen in their lives. They'd lose a family member. Something would happen that was tragic. And they'd say, hey, tell me about this. What does the Bible say about that? And boy, I'll tell you, that's a compliment when somebody comes to you to ask you that. Because of all the people they can come to, they separated you. Now, I've been shut down by people that came back and asked me questions about it. And now it's like it's another opportunity. Here's another opportunity. They might not have been at that time. They didn't want it. Well, sure, let's try again. So we sit down and do those things. So think about the 30,000 that you come in contact with. Let your good deeds shine forth as to touch the lives around you and rescuing the life for Yahweh and Yahushua. Touching the lives of the younger, then touching the lives of those younger than you with wisdom the years have given you. And that's a big thing for us, to look at the things that people have gone through. And it's kind of sad. I watched a show, and it was World War II, and it's a six-part, and it's an invading of Normandy. And when they came in, and it's the stories of these guys telling what took place. And I'm like, going, boy, one guy got his face completely shot off. He got hit in the back of the head with a mortar, had three pieces of shrapnel in his head. He got shot twice in the face. His jaw was hanging down. He had no teeth. He couldn't even spit. What teeth were back in the back of his throat, and he couldn't even spit them out. And he got shot another two times before they finally came and rescued him. And he was fighting the entire time. And I'm sitting there watching this going, holy cow. I mean, this is intense. This generation is just about gone. And if people don't, you know, take the things that, and I use that as an example just because as one generation starts to disappear, what's being brought in and what's being taken? And so for us, we have to be, what was it that they did? What was good? And we can do that from books too because, you know, we can look at John G. Lake and look at some things that was a generation prior to that. But we can look from that and read from that and learn from that, the good things, the bad things, that their struggles and their winnings and how we can apply that to us. And as the younger people, to go to them, and as the older people, not to clamp down. Well, that was my days, you know. You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't care. Well, no, we need to impart that. That's not up to us to decide on that. Be bold for the body of Christ and be a beacon of truth and light. And so lastly here, last one here, let's go to Daniel. Daniel 12, 1 through 3. Page 859. If somebody could read that for me there, please. 859 on the right side, 12, 1 through 3.
And at that time will Michael, the great ruler who standeth for the sons of thy people, make a stand. And there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation up to that time. And at that time shall thy people be delivered, everyone found written in the book. And many of the sleepers in the dusty ground shall awake. Those shall be to age-abiding life, but those to reproach and age-abiding abhorrence. And they who make wise shall shine like the shining of the expanse, and they who bring the many to righteousness like the stars to times age-abiding and beyond.
That's it. Now look in verse 3 after wise, the D. And they who make wise, and look down there what it says to D. The instructors. That's right. And so that's it. And that's where we can always be looking to where we can do that. You can instruct somebody without them ever even realize they're being instructed. Okay. And it's not a play of, you know, outsmarting or outwitting somebody. It's how you go about doing it and showing somebody. And you can instruct somebody and lead them. A lot of times they might not even realize they're being led. And you'll be able to do that. That's very effective. And to be wise when you do it. And intercede on that. Hey, so you do that. Aaron's good at that when he prays for other people. And as he starts to pray for him, he'll go into a prophecy. Mm-hmm. And this is wise. This is instruction. Guess what? The people walk away with that being touched. And now they have that to where, holy cow, what was that?
Yeah.
And you walk away. Okay, well, hey, God bless you. Take care. And they're like going, what was that? I want more of that. Show me what that is. now, not only do I have to try to force my instruction on you, you're knocking on the door. Hey, tell me what that is. Let's go do that. Yeah. So anyways, that is it. I will... Yeah. Donna turned, what yesterday, 40?
37.
I was trying to help you. Now you're on camera.
Hey,
now you
know how old I am. I bet you just count her years.
Cut your leg and then count the rings?
Yeah, right. Well, they already did that.
There'll be all your toys are out there.
Beautiful.
So I'm going to go ahead and close. Can you run along? Your toys are all over the floor. Go. Okay. We'll be at Aaron's house next Wednesday. Don't forget, people. 2 weeks from yesterday is voting. And so make sure everybody goes. I don't know how many people will be watching, but even if we can influence that, if a few votes for righteousness, you know, can counter some of those votes that are going for wicked.
Amen.
So any of them count. So anyways, I'll go ahead and close with the word, and then I'll have a word for those watching. Yahweh, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we're able to go out before you, that we are creating our own legacy, that we are doing this legacy in your behalf, though, that we are investing into you and your promises and your teachings, that we just deal in righteousness and justice. We thank you for that, that we're able to... just have the wisdom, and we come before you seeking that is as it's in need, that we come before you, we separate ourselves, that we are seeking the wisdom on all the ventures that we are doing, that we are walking out, that we are shining, that when people see us, that they will see your Son, that we are the body, we are the hands and the feet, and that we represent ourselves and carry ourselves with that glow that just shines out as when people would see you and know that there's something peculiar about you, Christ, that is what we are doing, and that's what we're carrying. We carry your words. We carry your words in our mouth as you utter them to us, that we work for you, and that we know that you incorporate all the things for our lives, that you are blessing us. And we just thank you for that we have a nation that we can preach, and we are able to just pray before you, and we thank you for that, for blessing all those that are running for office that are righteous. We just thank you for Brownback, Roberts, Pompeo, Kobach, all the righteous individuals. We just thank you for that, and for the body of Christ to just rise up and vote under righteousness and vote righteously. And we thank you for that, and for great miracles and great wonderful things that you put before us every day, that we are in tune and watching and seeing, so these do not fly by, but we stop and take the moment to notice the things that you've made for us. We thank you for that and the words that you have, and we say this in your Son's name. My children, know that I've put a wedge in front of you, that I'm detouring you from a path that you are going, that when you bump up against these things, that it is not at the coldness of the world, but it is me seeking your attention and reaching out to grab you, that I may influence you, that I may be able to inspire you to come before me, to repent of your ways and come before me, knowing that I will make you a new creation. As you fall before me and confess these things, that I will make you a new creation, and in this new creation you will have authority, and that you will have newness, and you'll be written in the book of life. And so I put these things there. I put the placards and the signs before you, that as you are watching or going about your routine, that you will see these things, and sometimes you will bump into them, literally bump into them, and wonder what's going on, and do not curse at me or curse at the world, but know that I'm doing these to grab your attention, and that it's through this attention that I'm trying to steer you in a direction that I'm calling you to go. So be on the lookout and come before me and confess these things and become the new creation that I am calling you to be.